Well, thank you, Greg and the team. It's great to sing some of those Christmas carols. And great to see the trees up here and the trees on our image screen. How many put an artificial tree up? Okay, how many do the real tree? Okay, how many already have their tree up? Quite a few of you do, eh? Yeah. Hopefully not if you've got a real one, so it... Yes, it's First Advent. Hard to believe Christmas season is here. And we've heard this morning the testimony of joy. Joy in the midst of leaving everything behind and going to the Ukraine. Joy even in spite of death of her husband. It can be a season of joy, but it also can be a season of stress. When our normal busy lives kind of go into uber busyness. And there's all this stress and frenzy associated with the season. It can be a season of anxiety. It can be a season of emptiness or loneliness or restlessness or chaos. And my prayer this morning is that indeed joy, God's joy, would come into your heart this season. As we look this morning at the second most popular Christmas carol. On Christmas Eve, we'll look at the most popular one. We're going to look at the second most popular this morning. Which is kind of funny, because when we look at the song, you'll see there's nothing about angels, nothing about wise men, nothing about the birth of Jesus. In fact, it's not a song about Christmas. Isaac Watts, the songwriter, back in the early 1700s, he went to his dad and he complained. He said, "Dad, the music in church is so boring." Parents, have you ever heard that before? Kids, have you ever said that to your parents? Yeah. This is back in the 1700s, and Isaac Watts said that to his dad. And so his dad put a challenge to him and said, "Well, Isaac, do something about it then." And so he began a lifelong pursuit of writing and composing some poems and some music that was to be used in churches and songs that would exalt Christ and lead people to the saving work on the cross. And in 1719, Isaac Watts published a work that was kind of a paraphrase of the Psalms, or kind of a reworking of the Psalms. And he entitled this hymn book, "The Psalms of David, Imitated in the Language in the New Testament and Applied to the Christian State and Worship." And one of those Psalms is a rewriting of Psalm 98. And he called it the Messiah's coming and kingdom. And today we know it as joy to the world. So let's take a look at this Psalm 98 that inspired his song, Joy to the World. So if you have a Bible, I invite you to turn there to Psalm 98 or turn on your mobile device and sign into YouVersion there and follow along. The notes are there or in your program. Psalm 98. The psalmist writes, "Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made his salvation known and revealed his righteousness to the nations. He has remembered his love and his faithfulness to Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God." So no wonder Isaac Watts liked this psalm, eh? Sing to the Lord a new song. He was the teenager complaining about those old songs. And you see here in these first three verses, he uses that word salvation three times. Everybody say that word salvation. Salvation. That he has worked his salvation for him. He has made his salvation known. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Salvation, salvation, salvation. Now, we don't know the background to this psalm. Some of the psalms have headings with them, and you can kind of know the background to it. And we're not sure with this one, but it seems to be this song of celebration of Israel's victory. And so the speculation is that it refers to the deliverance of Israel out of the conquest in Babylon. And so this song is written as this celebration of victory over enemies. And victory requires a new song to be sung. A song of salvation, that God is the Savior and He has made His salvation known to the ends of the earth. Okay, the next couple verses. Verse 4 to 6. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song with music. Make music to the Lord with the harp and the sound of singing, with trumpets and the blast of the ram's horn. Shout for joy to the Lord, the King. And so we see not only God as the Savior, but God as the King here. That we are to take this new song and to use our voices and to use instruments. And their only response to God, our Savior, is to worship this King. His salvation provokes a response from us. And the language here is similar to some language that Isaiah uses in referring to the Exodus from Babylon. That God has delivered them. Praise to the King. And so this section around joyful celebration, particular, grabbed Isaac Watts' attention, and it you'll see it in Joy to the World. And then the last few verses. Let the sea resound and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Let the rivers clap their hands and the mountains sing together for joy. Let them sing for the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples with equity. Now, not only is God the Savior and God the King, but God is also the judge. For 70 years, if that's the background to this psalm, for 70 years, the Babylonians have controlled Israel, but now they have been set free and they're singing this song of victory. And the song reminds them that God is a righteous God, God is a just God, and He will make all things right. And that the Babylonian king and those oppressors who oppress them will receive what is due to them. And that there will be a day when all wrong things will be made right. And the restoration of His people is something that people look forward to. All creation waits in eager anticipation of God making things right. So Psalm 98 is the background here from which Isaac Watts penned that Christmas carol, Joy to the World. And like I said, in the carol, it has very little to do with Christmas. It's more about Christ's second coming. But we've adapted it as a Christmas carol. And I think Isaac Watts wouldn't mind. Let's take a look at the carol. It's there in your notes. Let me read the first verse. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. And every heart prepare Him room. And heaven, nature, sing, heaven, nature, sing. The joy comes when the King is received. And this is kind of the only stanza that kind of hints at Christmas. That the Lord is come. The Lord has come. And Isaac Watts reminds us that the Lord, that King, needs to be received. And there's joy in our lives when we embrace Jesus as the King of our lives. When Christ came that first Christmas, not everyone was joyful. Like King Herod, he was anything but joyful. He was a very insecure leader. He was paranoid about anyone taking over his throne. He murdered three of his own sons. You know, he would take out anybody who he sniffed would be a potential takeover for him. So he's not about to give up his throne, including to a baby being born. In a similar way today, people can reject Jesus as King. Because Jesus can come across like a threat. He can be a threat to our plans, our pride, our greed, our freedom, our passions, whatever it may be. What about you? What about me? If we embrace Jesus as the King, let every heart prepare Him room. Having Jesus as a King, we're more likely to experience His joy. The second verse of the Christmas carol. Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ. While fields and floods, rocks, hills and plains, repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy. The joy comes when the Savior reigns. At Psalm 98, the background to this psalm is some of that language around salvation. We see here in this verse that the Savior reigns, that not only is Jesus the King, that we've got to make room for Him in our heart and in our lives, but then He needs to reign, He needs to rule over all of our lives. Let every heart prepare Him room, that every place in our heart, every place in our lives has Jesus reigning. See, if you and I are just going to dabble in religion, and just say, oh, I'm going to take Jesus as a King, but I'm not going to allow Him to reign as that Savior in all of my life. We're going to miss out on the joy that Ev told us about this morning and that she's personally experienced. Because we'll always be looking for it somewhere else. Or we'll be trying to bargain with God in it. And when we live that life of duplicity, we won't let Christ reign, and hence we won't experience His joy. Third verse. No more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make His blessings flow, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found. Now, some churches don't sing verse 3 because it doesn't seem to be in Psalm 98. And indeed, it appears that Isaac Watts, when he wrote Joy to the World, he was kind of reflecting back to Genesis 3, the curse, where Satan promised that, hey, if you eat of the forbidden fruit, Adam and Eve, you will become wise. But he didn't share the whole story with them. And the curse, sin entered this world. And sin makes all kinds of promises in your life and in my life, but in the end, it doesn't deliver. Right? It can promise happiness, but it'll just be a short-term thrill or a short-term happiness. But the true joy that I've reminded of is us this morning, comes when saviors repent. When sinners repent. Let me clarify that. When sinners, you and I as sinners, when we repent of our unbelief and we receive that good news into our own life. And then as a byproduct, we experience that joy of walking with the Lord. No more let sin and sorrow grow. Today, it is God calling you to turn aside. To turn aside from that sin. To turn aside from the byproduct of that sin, the sorrow. And instead, allow His joy to reign in your life. That even in the face of death, one of those byproducts of sin, joy can still reign in our hearts. Verse 4 of the Christmas Carol says, He rules the world with truth and grace and makes the nations prove the glories of His righteousness and wonders of His love. The joy comes when truth rules with grace. And we see here in that last stanza of the Christmas Carol, kind of the final verses of Psalm 98 there, which talks about God being the judge. And for the Israelites, it was the freedom from being set free from the Babylonians. And that someday God will rule the world with truth and grace. And that began with Him sending His Son Jesus in the first incarnation. We read John's words in John 1:14. I put on your outline, the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John Wright reminds us, that's who Jesus is, full of grace and truth. He is the just judge. And Isaac Watts in his Christmas Carol reminds us that He rules the world with truth and grace. His judgments are just and right and merciful. Let's go back. So this is what Joy to the World, he wrote. He put it in a psalm booklet. Why don't we stick it up on the screen there? Thank you, Kelly. You see there, the Psalms of David, imitated in the language of the New Testament and applied to the Christian state and worship. That's a mouthful, isn't it? For a title, for a book. But notice what he's saying there. That he's taking the Psalms from the Old Testament and he's seeing them through the lens of the New Testament. He's giving kind of a Christological perspective, looking at it through Christ, this Psalm 98, along with all the other psalms that he paraphrased and put to worship in his day. So with that as the backdrop, that's what he's thinking. Let's take a look at the story of the first Christmas. So I invite you to turn with me to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, as we read Luke's account of the incarnation. He begins the chapter by talking about the census that was required, and that Mary and Joseph going up to Bethlehem, where Joseph was from, and then her giving birth to her firstborn son, because there's no room in the inn. And let's pick up the story in verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace on those on whom His favor rests." So we've got Christ the King coming, Christ the ruler coming, but not as a ruler that the world expected or that we would necessarily expect. This ruler comes as an infant, a babe born in Bethlehem, and angels announced His arrival. And what did the angels say? Angel said, "I bring you good news of great joy." Good news. Take a look at verse 10 in your Bible. Who's got the word gospel in there? Anybody got the word gospel in? The word there is euangelion. Well, it's actually the verb euangelizo, but it's that word that we translate gospel. Euangelizo, gospel, or good news. I bring you good news of great joy. See, gospel, you can't get away from it, eh? We just finished the 10-week series. Hey, the gospel is still here in the incarnation. That I bring you, and notice he says, "I bring you good news of great joy." It doesn't say, "I bring you good news and great joy." No, rather it's a syllogism, for those of you who are English majors, that because there's good news, there will be great joy. There's cause and then the effect. Because if A is true, then B happens. That you can't separate the good news and the great joy, that they go hand in hand. And how does this joy come about? Well, I want us to focus in the final few minutes on this word glory. Everybody say glory. Glory. That glory relates to the good news and brings about the joy. That the angel came and the angels came to the shepherds that day. Now shepherds, they were kind of the lower class of society back then. Shepherds weren't allowed to testify in court. You know, they had a bad reputation. And I find it so interesting that who does God send the angels to? He sends them to these shepherds working the night shift. Kind of the social misfits of society. But they were open to receive. And so the angel comes. And what's their response? Verse 9. They're terrified. Well, of course they are. Suddenly the heavenly realm is intersecting with the earthly realm. And the angel speaks the word of reassurance. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. And Luke writes that the glory of the Lord shone around those shepherds. And then when the rest of the angels came, they sang glory to God in the highest. Now this word glory in the Greek, it implies weightiness or heaviness. Kind of think of it through the lens of physics. In physics, there's a law that says, you know, no two objects can occupy the same space at the same time. That makes sense, right? No two objects can occupy same space, same time. So let's say I were to go up here where Pastor Greg was, you know, and I were to stand here for the final song. Oh, you were over here, weren't you, Greg? Yeah. Okay, I knew you were behind one of these microphones. So let's say I were to stand here where Greg was standing in the final song, and he's like, Rick, I got to stand here. And I'd be like, no, I'm standing here. And, you know, physics says two objects can't occupy the same space, right? So we'd have a little pushing match back and forth, you know. Greg, should we demonstrate it? You know, maybe not. But the glory says, right, the weightiness or the heavier object should occupy that space, right? You know? So who's going to occupy by the space? And you say, well, Rick, what does that have to do with angels and shepherds? Again, we have a choice. When the heavenly realm comes and displaces in our life, we have a choice to receive that and to embrace it and to allow God's glory into our life. Or we can be like the innkeeper who put the no vacancy sign up, and we can say, hey, no vacancy here, and we don't allow God's glory to come and invade our space. The glory of the Lord. The Greek word there is doxa. Like I said, it refers to weightiness or heaviness. It's the angels coming down with this profound announcement. Emmanuel, God with us, has been born for us. It's a beautiful collision between heaven and earth. It's beautiful when you and I embrace it and allow God's glory to come into our lives. When we allow the weightier, the heavier, the doxa, the glory of the Lord to displace that human reality. And for the shepherds back in Luke 2, it just rocked their world. And it ought to rock our world also. The glory of God shining in us, shining through us, shining around us. And so I say, friends, allow Christ's world to collide with your world this Advent season. Allow His glory to break in, to break into your relationships, to break into your broken emotions, to break into your mental health struggles, to break into every area of your life this Advent season. In spite of the present circumstances, in spite of the present pain you might be in, in spite of present heartache you might be experiencing, allow that good news of great joy to invade your life. Because God's glory can come in, and it can displace our own little human realms. God's glory, that glorious realm, coming in and disrupting our human realm. I don't know what's in your human realm. But in my human realm, I can easily have worry, anxiety, regret, shame, all kinds of things. But when God's glorious realm comes in, it displaces those, the glory of the Lord. That's the good news of Christmas, friends. F.B. Meyer says it this way: so when we accept the fact of Christ's existence deeper within us, we shall be conscious of a glory transfiguring our lives and irradiating ordinary things. God's glory transfigurating our lives. The heavenly world colliding with our earthly world, and that brings joy. Matthew Fox says, joy is lost when cosmology is lost. Cosmology, that has to do with the origin of the universe or the nature of the universe. Let me ask you, have you lost your joy? Have you lost your sense of wonder? Your sense of awe about the universe, about this world, about God, about Christmas? See, it can be, you know, I'm reading the account here and you're like, shepherds, wise men, angels, I've heard that all before. Rick, it's not new. And for some of us, that story can become an old story. And the heavenly realm fails to break into our natural realm. The angel said, I bring you good news of great joy. And so I say, friends, receive that good news in your life. Repent. Repent and embrace the good news. Even though your present circumstances may say something otherwise, maybe your present relationships say, there's no joy here. Maybe your present credit card bill says, no joy here. Maybe your present emotions say, there's no joy in this heart. But I say, let God's glory break into your life. And what would it look like? What would it look like if that was true for all of us? Right? What if, as Christians, we were known as joy-filled people? You know, Christians often have a reputation as being against things, you know, opposed to things, or being narrow-minded and judgmental. What about when your family would think of you as being a Christian in the family, or your coworkers would think of you as being the Christian in your workplace, or your friends at school would think of you as being a Christian at school, and the first thought they would have in their mind is, that's a joy-filled person. Because you've got the glory of God in your life. And in spite of present circumstances, in spite of pain you're going through, you've got this joy that Ev told us about this morning. What about it? Well, two asks I got of you this Christmas.
to experience joy this Advent, number one is make space for God's glory to break in. Make space. Everybody say that word, space. Space. Yeah, to not be that innkeeper who says no room in the inn. And we can sometimes do that by default because we just make our lives so busy. Right? It's just so filled, right? It's busy during the year. And now we're Christmas. It's just super busy. Do you remember the Christmas series we did last year? It was called Christmas, what? Christmas, yes, thank you. Give a prize, whoever shouted that out. Thank you. Where was Pastor Steve? I was going to quiz him. Actually, I think he's down with the kids in KU. The Christmas Uncluttered. And we came up with that because so many of you said to me, oh, my life at Christmas is so busy, so full, so frenzied a couple of years ago. So then I did last year the series Christmas Uncluttered. And I'm saying to you again this Christmas season, friends, some of us got to unclutter our lives. Make space for God's glory to come in. The Gospel Primer. You're like, Rick, we did that. We're finished that. This thing's like a bad cold. It just keeps coming back, eh? You know, some of us did every single day. Some of us did most of the day. Some of us did some of the days. But 300 of us picked up a Gospel Primer. And to varying degrees, tried to carve out 15 to 20 minutes each day to say, I'm going to unclutter here. And I'm just going to make some space to be alone with God, to reflect on my life with God, to open my Bible and hear from God. And now that the Gospel Primer is over, what would it look like for you to continue doing that or to start doing it this Advent season? To say, hey, I'm going to carve out that 15 to 20 minutes each day. I did it during the primer. And even though it's an uber busy season now, I'm going to continue to do that because I want to make space for God's glory to break in to my own human realm. So maybe you want to pick up Our Daily Bread and say, hey, it's First Advent. I'm going to go through this, Our Daily Bread, and read the scripture and read the little devotional. Or we've got some devotionals from the MB Seminary. You can pick up a copy there at the Welcome Center. Or maybe you want to, if you use YouVersion, you don't want to use one of the Advent devotionals they've got here. And I just looked before the service, there's about a dozen that are there, you know. And what about if you turned off all the other push notifications that you get? Because really, do you need to see on Facebook that your cousin's having spaghetti tonight for supper? Really? You know? Hashtag Pasta Sunday. Like, really, do you need to know that? Like, you didn't know that 10 years ago. You don't need to know that now. You know? But allow the push notifications from YouVersion to kind of ping you throughout the day. And I got to admit, sometimes they're a little annoying because they send them quite frequently. You know? You might get half a dozen of them throughout the day. But to remind you, hey, this Advent season, I'm making space for God's glory to break in. And just to somehow use an Advent reading or a Bible reading or something to just connect with God throughout the Advent season. And if you make space for God's glory, it means you're going to have to say no to certain things, right? The wise men, they had to say no to King Herod in order to say yes to King Jesus. Because if we by default hang that no vacancy sign out, then it may mean for us no joy this Christmas. That no vacancy equals no joy. The shepherds left behind their sheep to go to the manger. What do you have to leave behind this Christmas to worship Christ and to have His glory break in to your world? Maybe you just want to make some choices, like around no screens at mealtimes, or not answering your work emails when you're at home in the evening. Or maybe to turn off talk radio or news radio or other songs that you're listening to and just listen to Christmas carols. I don't know what it means for you, but God can speak to you on how you ought to create space in your life. He came to those shepherds 2,000 years ago, those social misfits, because they were open and they were responsive to what God was doing in the world at that moment. And today, in 2018, He'll come to those also who are responsive and ready to hear and to receive from Him. Is that you? Is that me? Second ask. If you want to experience God's joy this Christmas, pay attention as God surprises you with His glory. Pay attention. Let's get back to the text. Verse 15. It says, when the angels had left them and gone into Bethlehem. The angels didn't go into Bethlehem, they went into heaven. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who is lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. The glory broke in, right? And they left different people than when they had gone there, right? They're returning to their job, praising God. They're thankful to God. And think about it. What are they thankful for? They're going back to their job as shepherds, right? They're not. It's not like they won the 50-50 Tuesday night at the Canucks game, you know, $1 million, you know, and they're going, hey, take this job and shove it. I'm not watching sheep no more. You know, no, they're going back. They're going back to watching those sheep, you know. It's pre-union days. There's no premium for the night shift, you know. And they're going back to their same job. But they're thankful. They're praising God. Why? Because they've seen the glory of God break into their lives, and that changes everything. It changed everything for them, friends, and it can change everything for you and I. That we also can't help but be people who worship and praise God because this glory, His glory, has broken into our lives. And isn't it true that the more attentive that you and I are to what God is doing in our world, the more we will experience joy? Doesn't that make sense? That the more you and I pay attention to what God is up to in our lives, the more we will experience joy as a byproduct of that. So I say, pay attention. Pay attention to tomorrow. It's a new day for you. Pay attention to the person sitting beside you this morning. Pay attention to your family members. Pay attention to coworkers or people at school tomorrow. Pay attention to the rain as it keeps you up at night. Pay attention to the rain as it wakes you up in the morning. Pay attention to the sun when we've got it on a day like this, because it's rare this time of year. But pay attention. Pay attention to the leaf that you walk over in the parking lot, the intricacies of that leaf that God designed. Pay attention. Pay attention to that clerk at the store or at the coffee shop. Pay attention to the sound of children. Pay attention to the meal that you'll have before you at lunchtime. I'm saying pay attention and watch God's glory break into your life. That as His heavenly realm collides with your earthly realm, we can't help but say thanks. We can't help but respond in worship. We can't help but be submersed in this new reality and to experience the joy. What about it, friends? Are you ready? Are you ready this Advent season to have His heavenly realm break into your earthly realm? Yeah, to have His glory be the weightier one, the heavier one that pushes aside your earthly realm? The angel said, verse 10, why don't we stick it up on the screen? Let's read it. Okay. The angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Who's it for? It's for all the people. Does that include you? Yeah. Does that include me? Yeah, it includes all people. Great news. Good news of great joy for all people. It's for the grace pointer who says this morning, how come everything in my life is falling apart? Everything's turning out so crappy. It's for the woman this morning who says, I never get a break. It's for the person here who's depressed or discouraged. It's for those of you who are anxious or fearful. It's for the parent here who's tired. It's for the wife here who wishes she was a mother. It's for the woman here who suffered a miscarriage or an abortion. It's for the guy here who has gotten or will get a pink slip this Advent season. Or the guy who won't get to see his kids this Christmas. It's for people like Ev who've lost a spouse. And grief has been very real. Or maybe people like Isaac Watts, the carol writer of Joy to the World, who never found love and never got married, though he wished to. It's for all the people who feel they've lost their sense of purpose. It's good news of great joy for all the people. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare Him room. Friends, it's good news for you. Are you ready to embrace that and receive His glorious reality in your life and let that displace your own human reality? Let's go to prayer. Just take a few moments of silent prayer. God brought you here this morning. And maybe as we're going to sing Joy to the World, maybe you're not feeling that joy this morning. You're feeling a lot of other things. You're thinking a lot of other thoughts, and you need that infusion of joy. And you want to say this morning, God, I want your glorious realm to invade my space. If that's your heart cry, if that's your prayer this morning, why don't you just kind of raise your hand? As you raise your hand, you're saying to God, yes, I want your glorious reality to come into my human reality. Yeah, yeah. People are raising their hands. You raise your hands to God, say, yes, I want that glorious reality to come in. Oh, Jesus. 2,000 years ago, you broke into this world. And you still break in. You still come to those who are ready to receive. You still come to those who are ready to hear from you. You still come to those who make space and pay attention. And Jesus, we want to be those kind of people. And you know some of us this morning, our hearts are heavy, our hearts are far from you, our hearts aren't experiencing the joy that Ev testified to, and we want to live that testimony also in the midst of our loss, in the midst of our pain. And so, Jesus, we invite you to come. Thank you. Thank you in advance what you're going to do in our hearts and our lives this Christmas season. Amen.